Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is Wednesday, June the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2015. As we begin to roll along, we're just getting over the hump day and roll down into the weekend. Now, I don't know what is going on today. But the technology has been, seems like it's been on the fritz. The internet and stuff like that. I don't know. All of my computers are slow, you know, when it comes to Google or when it comes to Firefox. My phone was acting a little bit strange. In fact, the battery drained faster than it normally does. And I checked it's not running anything in the background, anything. More than it. I don't know. Maybe it's just the planets are aligned in a certain way today, or what have you. But it's been a rather strange day for technology, and you know I've got backups going now, so bear with me because I don't know what's going to happen with the program tonight, as far as technology end is concerned. It's working on its own. You know, it's got a mind of its own. I don't know what the deal. I mean, because when I first came on, I'm looking at the sound levels, and I couldn't get the sound levels up. And now all of a sudden, the sound levels are through the roof. I don't know. You know, a computer that normally isn't slow. It's slower than my oldest computer, which is like now it's almost a decade, 10 years old. Nine years old now, almost a decade. So it's kind of a strange day for technology. I don't know what's. Are we being attacked? Is there some sort of cyber attack going on? I don't know. Maybe it's just because I know over the past couple of weeks there have been stories about how dissatisfied Americans are with their ISP and broadband and cable providers. And you know it's not something that's new. I love how they make it sound like, well, this is new. How Americans just don't like their cable company. No, it's not new. Sorry to hate to inform you, but it's not new. This has been, and look, the reason why they're in the position that they're in is because of government. You know, cable companies are basically a monopoly because of government allowing them to be, and actually fostering the monopoly. So, that is what it is. It is what it is. Hey, did you hear about this kitchen, school cafeteria, school kitchen manager who got fired? And this is out in Denver. She was fired for giving. Now, understand, she's a school cafeteria manager, school lunch cafeteria manager. And we're out in Denver, Colorado. So, I mean, you know, hey, man, it's the capital of the, you know, in this country. It's this country's capital state for pot smokers, man. You know, I heard something about over the first year of the California legalized pot law, that the state had a burgeoning number of people who were considered to be rich or wealthy financially, and you're talking cash basically, and a lot of these people opened up and were owning these supposed dispensaries, and they needed to know what to do with all their newfound cash wealth. And so that there were financial companies that were actually beginning to cater to these people. And I guess, hey, if you're going to, some of them are doing, million-dollar businesses over there in good old Colorado. But anyway, if you're going to get into, supply and demand. Now, there's capitalism at its finest right there. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. Capitalism at its finest. Supply and demand. If you have a supply of something that the public is demanding, you can sell it to the public. And if the demand is high enough, you can sell a lot of it to the public. And if you sell a lot of it to the public, you can make a lot of money. And if you make a lot of money, you're obviously going to pay a lot in taxes, but I think, there may be a boon out there as far as tax revenue, both to the Colorado State Treasury as well as the IRS, the United States Treasury, coming out of Colorado. Because let's face it, people will always buy what they want. They'll buy what they need for sure, but they'll also buy what they really, really want, even if they don't need it, which is why, if you got somebody who really likes alcohol, they may not be able to regularly afford it, but they'll buy it because that's what they really, 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 really want. So if you have somebody who's into smoking the doobie, and they really, really want it, then they will buy it. And if you get enough people who really want it and will spend the money to buy it, then you can make a mint, or as they say, you can make bank. And that's exactly what they're doing now out in Colorado. Now, you can't really, blame people who, I suppose in certain instances you probably can blame them, but you can't really blame the entrepreneur for wanting to make a buck. They're simply supplying a product and service that people are demanding. And if people didn't want it, if they didn't seek it, then all of those dispensaries and pharmacies, if you will, out there in Colorado would go out of business. They wouldn't have any customers. Now, I know that there are people, they're thinking, we just can't legalize drugs, Rod. Well, yeah, we can. And let me explain to you why. Now, I know I've mentioned this before, but tonight I'm going to try to explain it. Look, marijuana, hemp. It comes in many forms. There's industrialized versions. By the way, if you're concerned about people getting high on marijuana pot, then fine, I get it. But why make it all illegal? Why can't we have industrial hemp? It has a number of excellent uses. Canada found this out. So why not allow for industrial hemp? And the reason why marijuana and its cousins, hemp, are illegal have nothing to do with the drug effects of the plant, the weed. It was a naturally growing plant. It wasn't something that was regularly cultivated in the Americas. It's a weed. And it grew on its own, you know, much like, you know, wild artichokes. Grew on its own. Until somebody figured out, well, hey, you know, we could cultivate. Hey, man, we can cultivate this stuff. But the problem wasn't the mind-altering and body-altering aspects of the drug. This was put in place, you know, this ban was fostered by and helped to be put in place by none other than William Randolph Hertz. Now, you have to understand that William Randolph Hertz, he was a big newspaper publisher. He owned a lot of big city newspapers all over the country. Back in the day when the newspaper was king as far as the media was concerned in the news, people turned to the newspaper. You know, they wanted to know what the news was. They needed to be informed. It was the newspaper, and there was a lot of competition. And if you owned a newspaper, you were somebody. If you owned a bunch of newspapers, oh my God, you were really somebody. And William Randolph Hertz was definitely a somebody. Now, along with those newspapers, William Randolph Hertz also had timber and paper interest. In other words, he needed the mills, the paper mills, and the timber to produce the paper for his publications and newspapers across the country. But he also produced, you know, paper for other companies as well. It meant a lot of money to him. Now, back in his day, there was this notion that, hey, there can be competition to wood pulp paper. And it's called hemp paper. And the one thing about hemp paper, it has aspects that over wood pulp is that it doesn't take as long to grow hemp as it does trees. It's far more renewable, hemp is, than trees are. It's a weed. It can be quickly cultivated. It takes less energy and effort to turn hemp fiber, I guess, into paper than it does wood pulp, and on the advantages go. So that means that William Randolph Hertz obviously saw a major competitor to his wood pulp paper business. Well, he owned a bunch of newspapers. And he started editorializing about how bad marijuana was. Now, understand, Native Americans had been using marijuana for various aspects and various reasons for centuries before Europeans got here. They didn't abuse it, but they did use it. You know, and a lot of times when people were smoking the peace pipe, they were smoking pot. That was a tobacco. It was pot. Look, this is documented fact, folks. This is documented historical fact. So you combine William Randolph Hertz with making wild accusations in the editorials about pot because he wants it banned so it doesn't pose a competition to his wood pulp industry, as well as needing to be able to control at that particular time the Native American population and wanting them to become more industrialized and more Western and more American and to leave their old cultures behind. And again, this is documented historical fact of what America tried, the federal government tried to do to the Native American Indians. Now, back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, in fact, you know, you can look at some of the pictures and see where they actually tried to turn them, especially the children. They sent children, they were forbidden to speak in their native tongue. They were taught English. They had their hair cut and they were put in Western American type clothes. They look like little boys and girls out of the big city. So this is what they were trying to do. And one of the things that they were trying also to do is to make it more difficult for Native Americans to be able to practice their traditions and their religions. And one of the things was also marijuana, peace pipe, tobacco. That's basically what it was. It was also used in certain rituals, in shamanistic rituals, and it was used in sometimes it was used in the sweat lodges that certain tribes used in practice. It wasn't abused by Native Americans, but it was used. So that had to be cut out. So we got to this point, and it's all the same around the same time as what? Alcohol was being looked at as being very, very bad. And we know what happened to that. You know, we had a constitutional amendment that banned liquor in this country. And so, again, it was stuff that was we were lied to about. Liquor is the devil, man. It's going to cause all it. If we get rid of liquor, it's going to cure all our ills. And what did and by getting rid of liquor, what did we do? We gave rise to organized crime in the United States. We made them rich and powerful. And this is exactly what we're doing with pot. It's no different. And now we're coming along where some states are saying, well, maybe we should just finally legalize this stuff. Why? Because we're arresting too many people who just smoke it. They don't grow it or distribute it. All they do is smoke it. They buy it and they smoke it. Why the hell would you spend so much time and money and effort in your police force to try to find and stop and arrest people who smoke it? And then sometimes, but too many times, if you're caught too many times smoking it, they actually throw you in jail. Where the American people then have to do what? Pick up the tab for this person. Why do we do that? All based on two false notions and accusations from way back in the day. One, because, you know, hey, it's a competition to William Randolph Hearst's Wild Pulp. And it's going to get rid of part of the aspect of Native American culture. So we can westernize all the Native Americans here. So we can get rid of the reservations and so we can have their land. That's what it was about, folks. Getting rid of Native American reservations so that the land could be sold off. That's what it was. It was called assimilation. That's what it was all about. And you're able to do that if you start taking apart certain parts of people's culture. So that is why pot and marijuana and hemp is illegal in this country to this day, because nobody wants to stand up and say, well, this is the, you know, they, I don't know why, because they stood up and said, well, you know, prohibition for alcohol was kind of a mistake. Big time. So why they're not doing the same thing for pot, maybe some people are, is beyond me. Now, I don't smoke the stuff. I'm not going to, you know, suggest that people smoke it, but it's kind of like tobacco. If you want to smoke cigarettes, go ahead. Because contrary to modern belief, no, pot really isn't all that evil as they say. Yes. There are certain aspects where, you know, some people become a little bit more, you can say lazy if you want to, less ambitious, but it's not just pot that does that. There are a lot of legal drugs that do that. And hell, if you drink alcohol all the time, that'll do that to you. But it's not just pot that does that. Again, don't believe me. Look it up. You'll find out. You'll find out that everything I'm saying is true. You know, we've been lied to about this. It's not the first time we're lied to about alcohol. So, but even if everything negative that they said is true about marijuana, then why would you still have hemp, which has no hallucinogenic properties to it whatsoever, but has a plethora of industrial and commercial uses? Why would you prevent that from being grown and sold in the United States? And don't tell me because you wouldn't be able to tell the difference, because other countries allow it. Canada, for one, they can tell the difference. So again, you have to look at everything, and you have to say, well, you have to scratch your head and say, maybe there's more to this, like Rod is saying. Of course there's more to it, like I'm saying. And the whole notion that you know, look, especially in this country when we're supposedly looking for all kinds of alternatives to the regular industrial revolution standards, we don't seem to be using a lot of them. And you know, a lot of these alternatives are better for the environment, but we're not using them, not simply because they don't work or because they're too expensive, but because government makes it difficult, for one, or plainly, there really just isn't a market for it. But when there is a market, why do we make it so expensive and so difficult to utilize? You know, it's kind of like bamboo. Do you know how long it took bamboo flooring to get into this country to be a stable price, affordable price for the average person? It took a long time. And bamboo flooring is tough. And it's a good alternative to a regular, you know, to a standard wood floor. But for whatever reason, it seemed to take this country forever to get it. And it had to do with a number of different reasons, including, you know, government getting in the way. So you know, we got to get out of this mode of, because I'm hearing people talking about, you know, the solar industry now. About, well, the government should, you know, keep up its subsidy. Why should the government keep up its subsidies? Let the subsidies go. Force them to bring the price down so it is more affordable, so it is more efficient, so more people will want it, so more people will buy it, and so more people will utilize it. Right now, you're keeping it on the fringe, and I know that's what some people like. You know, because they like to think that they're smarter, brighter, and better than everybody else, so they want to keep solar power on the fringes, because, you know, then they're counterculture, and because they don't want to be mainstream. Not, you know, leftists don't want to be mainstream. No. As soon as something decides to go mainstream, then all of a sudden leftists are against it. And if you don't believe me, how about windmills? Remember, windmills are part of clean energy, right? So we're supposed to, you know, embrace windmills. And so somebody wants to build a large windmill farm off the coast where there's a constant breeze that'll constantly be blowing on these windmills and have them constantly rotating and constantly producing power. And now who comes out of the woodwork? Oh no, these things are going mainstream. So these leftist environmentalist bird-loving wackos have decided that windmills kill too many birds. And I don't know about you, but those damn things, those things are huge and they're noisy. And no bird, if a bird gets killed by a windmill, then the bird is stupid. The bird is going to be scared away by the noise. I've seen it happen. They don't get close to those things. But of course, now it's mainstream, so we can't have it be mainstream, because then if it's mainstream, then the leftists lose their power in their fight. So you know what? Maybe that's what we should do with pot too. We should just say, okay, we're going to stop the war on illicit drugs, especially pot, make it legal all over the country. And I bet you that the leftists out there, the leftist radicals, will turn away from it because now it's mainstream and they're not going to want to have anything to do with it. And then guess what? The demand for the product is going to go down. A lot of dispensaries are going to go out of business, and you solve your problem without using any cops. It's a beautiful plan, and it'll work.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With the Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Five three two two for and joining me here live on the Rod Eccles Show. I'd love to hear from you. Now to get on to the story that I started out with but didn't quite get to because of all the other because of the other wonderful stuff that the left is doing to all of us, doing to us, I should say, not doing for us, doing to us, is this wonderful woman out in Colorado, Aurora, Colorado. This is from Denver, .cbslocal.com, a story, and it's about Della Curry. Now, D-E-L-L-A, Della Curry, C-U-R-R-Y, is out of work, but she's unashamed after being fired by the Cherry Creek School District. Now, she's a married mother of two. She's a former kitchen manager at Dakota Valley Elementary School in Aurora. Now, you got to pay attention to this. This woman got fired. Now, Colorado is not exactly a conservative stronghold. Let me just say it that way. Now, she lost her job last week, last Friday, after giving school lunches to students who didn't have any money. She said, "I had a first grader in front of me crying because she doesn't have enough money for lunch. So yes, I gave her lunch." Now, in the district of Dakota Valley Elementary School, in the Cherry Creek School District, students who fail to qualify for the free lunch program or the reduced lunch program. Now, you know, yeah, listen to this, folks. Yeah, are you kidding me? I know some people are saying, "What, Rod? What did they do?" Listen to this. Pay attention to this, folks. This is why local elections matter too, because this is supposed to be all about the children. Now, if a parent did this, a parent would be accused of neglect or child abuse. In fact, we've seen parents be brought up on these kind of charges for doing less than this. This is what is happening out in Cherry Creek School District, in Colorado. In the district, in the Cherry Creek School District, students who fail to qualify for free lunch or who fail to qualify for the reduced lunch program, this is what they get if they don't have any money with them. You know, no, here you go, Johnny. There's an IOU. You just bring the, tell your parents and you bring the money in tomorrow or next week, what have you. No. We're going to feed you, Johnny. We're going to, because it's all about the children, right? We're supposed to be feeding the children, right? Yeah, it's all about the kids, right? Until a leftist decides what the rules are. Then if you break a leftist rule, you're in big, deep doo-doo. So if you don't qualify for the free lunch or the reduced lunch program and you don't have any money and you're an elementary school kid in Cherry Creek School District out in Colorado, what you'll get for lunch is one slice of cheese on a hamburger bun and a small milk. Let me repeat. You will get, if you do not qualify for the free lunch program or the reduced lunch program and you do not have any money for lunch that day and you're an elementary school student in the Cherry Creek School District in Colorado, the great state of Colorado, where they have, you know, pot dispensaries where they could pay for all kinds of things, you will get one slice of cheese on a hamburger bun and a small milk. And they'll tell you, "That's lunch, kid." Now, Curry says that the meal is not sufficient. Many times she's paid for the lunches out of her own pocket. Now, this is what this woman says right now. This is a quote. Quote, "I'll own that I broke the law." Unquote. It's the law out there in Cherry Creek School District in Colorado. that if you don't qualify for the free lunch and you don't qualify for the reduced lunch program and you're an elementary school, a school student in the Cherry Creek School District at this school, Dakota Valley Elementary School, and you don't have enough money or you don't have any money that day, that you get one slice of cheese slapped on a hamburger bun and you get a small milk to wash it down and you're told, that's a nutritious lunch, kid. Enjoy the rest of your day. Hello? She says the law needs to be changed. Oh, you think? It's a law, folks. And now, if you sent your child to school with one slice of cheese on a hamburger bun and a thermos full of milk, and a teacher saw that while your kid was eating that in the lunchroom, and the kid said, well, this is all I have to eat, you would be having a knock on your door from Child Protective Services accompanied by a cop or a sheriff's deputy. They're going to want to inspect your home, inspect your refrigerator, your kitchen. They're going to want to talk to your kids without you around. They might even decide, well, you know, we're going to take the kid out of the house tonight, out of your house tonight, and we'll have a hearing tomorrow. You would be brought up on child abuse charges. But the law in Colorado says, well, you know, hey, if you send your kid to school with this kind of lunch, you're a neglectful parent. But you know, if your kid loses his money, has the bully takes his money, forgets his money, what have you, doesn't have enough for lunch, then this is the kind of lunch we're going to give him. And this is the law. But if you follow this law that we're following over here, well, you're going to be in trouble. But see, we made the law and the rule. So the school district can't be in trouble. So we can't be brought up on charges for child neglect and cruelty and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you did that, yeah, you could be. Because, you know, you're the parent, so you should be able to do better, right? I'm telling you, folks, this is why local elections matter, because whoever Coloradoans elected put these rules and laws into place. They just didn't appear out of thin air. Somebody had to first establish and write the bill, and then they had to promote the bill. And they had to get enough people to agree with them to pass the bill. And then they had to get somebody to sign the bill into law. And so, you know, in order to do all that, they had to all be elected first. And if they weren't elected, they were appointed. Well, somebody who was elected had to appoint the people who did this. I mean, this is why elections at all levels matter. So to qualify for the free lunch program, a family of four would have to have a household income of around $31,000 or less. To qualify for a reduced lunch program, the threshold is between $31,000 and $45,000. Now, $45,000 and you get a reduced lunch program? And if your kid forgets his lunch money, you're going to just give him a slice of cheese? $45,000 a year gets you reduced lunch program. Gets you put on the reduced lunch program. $45,000 in Colorado. Now I don't know the cost of living out there in the, but yeah, outside of, you know, celebrity villas like, you know, probably Vail. I'm pretty sure, you know, places like, you know, Boulder and Denver are not on the same economic cost of living scale as, say, San Francisco, Boston, New York City, Miami, and Atlanta. You know, just saying, in Chicago. You know, those are expensive places where $45,000 is not a lot, but I'm going to say, you know, in Colorado, that $45,000 is a comfortable living. New York City and San Francisco, that you're a pauper at that level, but, you know, but $45,000 in Colorado gets you on the reduced lunch. $31,000, you know what $31,000 in a year breaks down? That's about $16. It's more than $16 an hour. That's more than minimum wage, folks, that they're proposing. Yeah, you know, we got a minimum wage of $15 an hour. Well, hey, $15 an hour is still going to put you on the free lunch program list. Think about that for a second. They're proposing a minimum wage that isn't going to take people out of poverty. That's just a side note, folks. Just think about it. They're proposing a minimum wage that is not going to take people off of government assistance. Think about that. Because at $31,000, you're still going to qualify for the free lunch program, which is government assistance, at your local Colorado school. Now, Curry says the students that she's helped did not qualify for either program. Kids whose parents make too much money to qualify, but a lot of times they don't have enough money to eat, she said. She said, do something different than fire. She's trying to help. Now, I would have to agree, but I would also happen to have to ask, well, $45,000, that means if you're making, you have to make more than $45K. So when you're not qualifying for either program, so why does your kid not have lunch money? I that's a separate question. I agree. I'm not going to fault her for asking that one. But at the same time, I mean, we're talking Colorado here, folks. You know, home Colorado, if I'm not mistaken, it is the marijuana capital of the USA, right? You know, shouldn't they be taking all the proceeds that they're getting from taxing marijuana sales and putting and just giving every kid a free lunch? I think they're making enough money off of that. I'm just saying. You know, there's probably enough money to do it. Oh, no, because then they would, you know, that would be spending the money on something reasonable, like they always say. Now, instead, they want to tax so-called rich people more so they can do this kind of program and then still not be able to fulfill everything that they promise. So that when a kid comes to school, I mean, why would you fire a lunch lady for helping out some kid who forgot his money or forgot his lunch and just couldn't afford it that day? Why would you fire some? And, you know, it's not like she's out there feeding the homeless illegally. She's in the lunch room. In the lunch room. In the school lunch room. I mean, if she adds it up and, you know, the kids don't come back with more money, then she takes it out of her pocket. But why would you fire her over that? For hell, look, we already, you know, we've been told over and over and over again that a kid can't study on an empty stomach. They're not a very good student on an empty stomach. So why would you send the kid back to the classroom all hungry? Think about it. You know, you claim that some kids are disciplinary problems anyway, but now you're gonna starve some other kids? Oh, Rod, they're not starving. Well, yeah. They're hungry. That's why we have lunch periods. So you're telling me that you know, this woman deserves to be fired because she fed some kids. She fed children. Now, I thought this was schools were supposed to always be all about children. It's for the children. That's what I keep hearing.
It's for the children. We have to do things for the children. It takes a village to raise a child.
And so this woman is part of the village, and she gets fired. She's part of the village trying to raise your children, and she gets fired for it. It's not like she was supplying the food outside of school, and it, you know, was contraband types of food, or it was expired food, or spoiled food, or she was, you know, trying to shove it down their throats, or she wasn't giving them good stuff, or what have. She was giving them a free school lunch. You know, a free approved school lunch. Above and beyond the single slice of cheese on a hamburger bun and a small glass of milk. That's what she was fired for not giving out. Look, prisoners in prison. get fed better than that? Think about that, folks. Here you have a law out in Colorado, the marijuana pothead capital of the country. Yeah, hey, and if you smoke pot, you know, you're supposed to have the munchies all the time, right? After you come down off your high, you get very, very hungry. Well, I don't know any pothead that's going to be able to sustain himself with a slice of cheese and a hamburger bun. Well, the kids aren't potheads, right? Well, it doesn't matter. Maybe their parents are. Maybe they get a contact high or something, and they're, you know, and we always hear all this stuff about, you know, there are a lot of children in the United States, Rod, that the only good square meals that they get are when they're in school. So they get a good breakfast in school and they get a good lunch in school. And those are the only two square meals that they get during that day. Cause when they go home, there's nothing on the dinner table. And this is the reason why they want to try to keep kids after school and have dinner programs in some districts, because, you know, these kids aren't getting proper nutrition, Rod. They're not getting meals. And so this woman gives out a free meal above and beyond the legally stated single piece of cheese on a hamburger bun, and she gets fired. She gives the kids, the innocent children, a free lunch, which is better. You know, better than the legal or lawful lunch that these kids are supposed to get, which is a lot worse than criminals get. You go to any jail and they're, you know, a criminal is going to get a better lunch than a single piece of cheese and a hamburger bun and a small milk. Are you kidding me? I bet you prisoners in Guantanamo Bay. Well, I know prisoners in Guantanamo Bay eat better than that because some of them are getting fat. They all put on weight and were looking a lot healthier than when they were captured on the battlefield. But hell, try doing that. Well, some of those kids, Rod, can afford to lose, could, you know, miss a meal. Well, that may be, but the whole point is that that's not how you do it. Yeah, there may be some kids who are a little obese or overweight or what have you, but that you don't get them to lose weight by starving them and by making them hungry and so hungry that they're jittery, that they can't pay attention in class. Look, I know what it's like to be, you know, when you're not prepared to be hungry and you're hungry. I mean, you don't really concentrate in anything else but trying to find some food. Plain that's just natural human instinct. But, you know, so 31,000 a year gets you a free lunch and 45,000 a year gets you a reduced lunch. And, you know, but if you make 46,000, your kid doesn't get anything except a single slice of cheese. And, see, this is why all this stuff based on income is unfair, because what if you make $45,001 per year? You don't get the reduced lunch. But you obviously that $1 over a year is not going to make you wealthier than the person who's making $39,999 a year. Or $44,000, whatever. Think about it. It's not like it's a hypothetical. That kind of crap happens all the time. Just a few dollars over the threshold. Up, you don't qualify. What? So my $1 a week or $52 a year puts me over the limit. $50, of which, you know, probably 20 of it's gone in taxes. And now this poor person has been relieved of her duties, so to speak, because, you know, she's feeding kids. So a parent there, Darnell Hill, says Curry had helped out his son when he forgot his lunch money. He said, do something different than fire. She's trying to help people. So, you know, kids can, even parents. Well, your kids didn't bring in the lunch money, right? Look, parents forget. Have you ever walked out of your house and forgot your wallet or your purse? I've walked out of my house and forgotten my wallet. I've walked out of my house and forgotten my keys. And thankfully, I didn't lock myself out. There have been times when I have. I had to break it back into my own place. in order to get my keys. No, because you can't, obviously you can't drive a car without keys. And if, you know, if your house keys are on your car key chain, then you're out of luck. So if you've never forgotten your keys and never forgotten your wallet, good on you. I am so happy for you. But the vast majority of people, especially in this country, living busy lives, and you know, we think we're living busier lives than we probably actually are, but we've all, you know, we've probably multiple times have left the house forgetting our wallet, forgetting our keys, forgetting both, forgetting the cell phone. God, the cell phone is not that important. It doesn't matter. It is important to some people. And for some people, they, you know, nowadays, especially all their financial information, you know, they use the mobile wallet stuff from Apple Pay and from other things. So they don't even have to carry a wallet. They forget the phone. They basically forgot their wallet, which means they forgot their money. So what happens? So if you forget your wallet or you forget your money, then you're not an adult. You can't just leave and go home and go get it. You know, a teacher probably, you know, oh, geez. Hey, Sandy, could you fill in for me for, you know, the next 30 minutes? I got to run home and get my wallet because I forgot my wallet. No, a lot of times, a fellow teacher might say, well, here's $10. Get you some lunch. Just pay me back tomorrow. Kids can't do that. Kids can't do that. You can do that. You know, parents. But kids can't do that. You know, maybe a high school student can do it a little bit. You know, some high school kids are friendly and cooperative like that, and they have extra money on them. But for the most part, an elementary school kid isn't going to do it. Can't do it. It doesn't know how to do it, so they're not going to do it. And, you know, evidently teachers aren't doing it either. Oh, little Johnny, you forgot your lunch money. Here, let me give you some lunch money and I'll send a note home with your parents. Nope. Instead, this woman decides to take it up on herself to pay for some poor schlub kid who forgot his lunch money. And she gets fired for it. So how does that work and how does that happen? I don't know, but it happens. And it happens enough where it was noticed where she got canned, fired, if you will. But we're supposed to be okay with that. Because why? Because, I don't know, kids don't, kids don't always remember, or do they always remember? Or you're not allowed to feed your kid. You're not allowed to feed the kids. That's it. Because if you feed the kids, well, you know, that's a bad thing, feeding children. You know, because if you feed the kids, and that means that the kids are not going to be starving and they're not going to be neglected. So we can't send somebody over to the parents' home and look them up for child neglect and child abuse. So we can't take the child out of the home and indoctrinate the kid against their parents. Oh, no. You know, so you've done a bad thing by interfering with the state. I've heard this a lot too. You know that in most communities, it's illegal for you to put money into somebody else's meter, parking meter. Oh yeah, they have different kinds of names for it, but it's usually interfering with public procedure or something stupid like that. And you can get a ticket for doing that. In some communities, you can actually it's an arrestable offense. So you cannot get in between the government and their prey, kind of like Lord of the Rings.